Great song, The Goodness of God. Praise the Lord. If I could get one of the men to grab that pulpit over there. Jeff, can you help me out there? If you don't mind. Well, that's on wheels, so it's an easy push, brother. And we'll just wheel it right over here, grab it. Don't run it over your foot. But anyway, got your Bible today. Let's take and open the book of Proverbs. And children are dismissed to go to children's church. And if you will, just kind of follow out one of the doors, Children's Church, and they can go over there and get started. Thank you, brother. See Ron Newsom, he'll give you a check for doing this. Oh. All right. Good, brother. Oh, we're good. We're okay. No, I don't need that. Darren, I don't need it. Yep. Thank you. All right. In the book of Proverbs today. And we're on a wireless mic today, so good. Good to see you in church, and we are so glad that you're here and today, and especially as you're a guest today, and we're so glad that you're here and come as a guest and a visitor today. Want to say welcome here to First Baptist Church in Canton, and glad that you come as friends, and you're always welcome to come and to be with us in the Lord's house. I'm going to share a Bible message, preach a Bible message today. And what does the Bible say about friends? What does the Bible say about friends? It says a lot about friends. And so we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. If you've been blessed and if you have good friends, count your blessings. Like Brother Ron said, name them one by one. I've been privileged down through the years, early on, to have many great friends. And that I got many great friends here, but I was sharing with Sunday school a little bit earlier. I still stay in touch, and some of them that I grew up in the neighborhood I grew up in down in central Ohio, still stay in contact with some great friends down there. I talked to two of my aunts this week down in Ohio. One's going to be 98 this summer, and relatives, but a great friend. Nita and I had the privilege, my wife and I, she made it home from Texas. Thank you for your prayers and that. So. But yesterday had the privilege, I don't know about you, but my wife and I, most all, we've been married 51 years, most of our adult life, have gone to a chiropractor. And I probably had chiropractic adjustments every 2 weeks for most of my entire marriage or adult life. That's not from my wife beating up on me, that's just from good health care and that along the way. But I've had a chance. My first Sunday, I shared with you a moment ago when I got saved. But you know, that next Sunday, then I started going to church. And my first Sunday school teacher was Dr. Harold Reinhart from Laudanville, Ohio, and he was a chiropractor. And taught Sunday school. I was a sophomore in high school, and he was my first Sunday school teacher. And he's the one that first made the Bible come alive to us as young men, as 10th graders in high school, and made it alive and made it interesting and made it fun to be able to go to Sunday school and church. And I really thoroughly enjoyed sitting under his ministry. And he dated the church organist, and they got married. I was telling our Sunday school class, us high school guys, did our duty that day. We put rocks in his hubcaps and Limburger cheese on his manifold and put love notes on his windows and said, "We love you, Doc." And that he drove out of the parking lot, clickety-clank in those hubcaps. But I thank God for the people that I've met, friends I've met down along the life's journey. And one of those friends, I had the privilege yesterday to preach their funeral. And as I said, back in about 1990, my wife and I met a man by the name of Dr. Aaron Blossom, his wife Mary. They had seven children. Two of those now have gone on to heaven. Five are still here. We all gathered yesterday because Mary passed away during COVID. And the family decided to have her cremated. And then Dr. Aaron, our family chiropractor for over 30 years, got sick and had to quit practicing, and he passed away here, I think, on January the 4th. So the family decided, their son, Dan, had contacted me, and being one of the patients in the family and knowing the family and that, and said, hey, we're going to wait and do it till probably later in April, and then we're going to get all the family together. Would you do Dad and Mom's funeral, or the burial committal service for Dad and Mom? And I said, man, I'd be honored that you would do that. So we met in Bay City yesterday amongst friends, and had all the family. They come in from Billings, Montana, from Nashville, Tennessee, Tampa, Florida. They come in from all over, had a pretty good group there. And I listened to Sarah and David and Glenn give testimonies, and much said about being saved in the family. Come to find out, many were saved. But I also had the opportunity to share the gospel yesterday with that family, and then laid to rest. A great impact of a family in my life that was a great friend. You know, our friends go outside these walls. We have great friends here in the church, but when you go outside these walls into a world that we live in, you run into a lot of interesting and neat and great people in this world that we live in. And many out there need a good friend. And I think it's important. The Bible says a lot about being good friends. And I think we need to look at what the Bible says here this morning. I'm going to start it with a verse found here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And I looked at the definition of what a friend, if you look at what Webster says a friend is. A friend is a person whom one knows and with one whom one has a bond of a mutual affection. Let me say that again. A friend, the definition of a friend is a person that you know and with who you have a bond of a mutual affection. In Sunday school, we talked about a little bit earlier today, and I was giving our Sunday school class some examples that in the Bible there were some relationships that had great friendships. And you got to start with David and Jonathan. David is an interesting Bible character. David and Jonathan, the Bible says that their hearts were knit together, bond together. Well, Jonathan's father was King Saul. And Saul was jealous of David, and Saul set out to have David killed. And so much of his life there for a while was running to try to run to safety. And Jonathan was always trying to protect David. And always trying to love, but it's interesting to look at the bond of that mutual affection between the two of Jonathan and David. You look in the Bible and you look at another great friendship of Elijah, the great prophet that God used in a powerful way. I love how he called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel and all the things that he did. But Elijah had a great friend in Elisha. And you look at Elisha in the Bible with Elijah, and there were three times there in the scripture that it talks about where Elijah said to Elisha to tarry here while I go on, because he was going to go and cross over Jordan and getting ready, because God was getting ready to translate Elijah into heaven. There's only two people in the Bible that never saw death. One of these days, my friend, death is going to come to all of us. We know that. But there are two people in the Bible that never saw a physical death. Elijah was one. The Bible says that God translated him, took him up into heaven, and Elisha, his friend, was there to see that. And what he asked for was a double portion of his spirit, of God's spirit upon his life. You look on and you see another task in the Bible where two friends gather together. And I have an aunt down in Ohio named Naomi. And I was sharing earlier with Sunday school today, there's a Bible story in the scripture that talks about Naomi. Naomi got married at Elimelech, and we find that all of a sudden she kind of fell on hard times, and her husband died. She had two sons. Well, they had married, taken wives, and then her husband dies. About 10 years goes by, and both sons die. So she's left now with her two daughter-in-laws. And you talk about, you know, it kind of got rough there for a while. And so Naomi was going to go back home. So she was releasing her daughter-in-law, say, why don't you go back home where you came from? And I find it interesting because the one daughter-in-law, Orpha there, she the Bible simply says, go look at it in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, said that she went back to her family to serve false gods and to serve the other gods. She did not go back to worship the same God of Israel. She went to serve false gods. But not Ruth. Ruth, the Bible says, to Naomi said, wherever you go, I'll go. Whoever your God is will be my God. I will serve the God that you serve. And I love that about Ruth, because Ruth and Naomi, you're talking about many times relationships between a mother-in-law or a daughter-in-law many times become strained. But not in Naomi's case and not in Ruth's case. They became strengthened, and Ruth simply said, where you go, I will go. The God that you serve, I will serve. And together, and they had a unique friendship there. So the Bible says that a friend, a real friend, is simply someone that you know, with whom you have a close bond, a mutual affection. And the Bible has a lot to say about friends. Human beings were created, if you think about it, we were all created to be relational. And friendships are an important part of our lives. We said earlier together that really many times in our friendships and life's journey, you become and you spend more time sometimes with your friends than you even do with your own blood relatives. And so we find how important it is that to have great friends, and we need friends, people that we bond with in that mutual affection. But not just any friend will do. Having the right friends is key, and discernment is required. By that, let me share with you. I mentioned a while ago, I was saved when I was 16 years of age, and was attending Bowling Green State University, and I always wanted to go in the military and fly jet airplanes in the Air Force, and that, so I was in their ROTC program at Bowling Green State University. And I came home. My mother and father asked me to come home, go to a revival meeting, so I came home, went to the revival meeting, was there at that revival meeting, age 19, that I walked to an old-fashioned altar like this, got on my knees and said, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. You just show me what you want. I gave him a total heart of surrender and said, Lord, you can have everything. Whatever that means, I have no idea. So I went back home to my youth pastor and I said, what does that mean? I said, I just know in my heart what God said to me in my heart. Now I said, now what do I do? And he said, well, you need to go to Bible college and start figuring it out and start preparing for whatever the Lord would have for you to do. And I knew when I made that decision, and I got on my knees at that altar because I had a group of friends that was loyal to Christ, faithful to Christ, a good friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I also had a group of friends that even went to church on Sunday, and they didn't exactly live for the Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in the week. So I had to make a decision. I said, I just made this commitment to God and that I would wholeheartedly follow Him and walk with Him, fellowship with Him. And I had to make a decision right then who my real friends, quote unquote, real friends were going to be. And I didn't go to some of those friends and say, see you later, you're not my friend no more. You make your choices and you kind of go on your own path and make your own choice along the way. And you have got to be use discernment and selecting the friends. They're really not your friend if they're not leading you more towards God in a better and a stronger relationship with Him. You got to be careful because they can lead you down the wrong path. And so here in this text of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The greatest friend that you'll ever have, the greatest friend you can ever accept, the greatest friend you can ever get to know is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He calls us friends. He's the greatest friend that you'll ever have. Somebody you can always count on. Somebody that will always be there for you. Somebody that will be with you through thick and thin. Will always be there through whatever trial and challenges in life. And the Bible tells us that Proverbs 12, that the righteous choose their friends carefully. I would say to you today, choose your friends wisely. Use godly discernment in choosing your friends. The Bible tells us that a true friend in Proverbs, a true friend shows love no matter what. No matter what you're going through, they will love you for who you are. And even on those days, sometimes it's hard to love. But they will love you and show that love. Proverbs also tells us in chapter 27 that a true friend gives heartfelt advice and bringing joy to the heart. Count that a blessing if you have a true friend. Proverbs 27 also gives us insight that a true friend will sometimes rebuke us if necessary, but the correction is always done in a spirit of love. The Bible also says in Proverbs 27, great chapter in chapter 27, I encourage you to spend time in Proverbs 27, a true friend influences and enlivens us and sharpens us, and as iron sharpeneth iron, a true friend will sharpen your life and make you to be a better person. A true friend in Proverbs 16 talks about will avoid gossip at all costs. A true friend will not gossip. A true friend will stay true and loyal in that friendship. Proverbs 17 talks about a friend will forgive and never holds grudges. Proverbs 18 talks about a true friend is always loyal. And Proverbs chapter 4, a true friend will always help in a time of need. Choose your friends wisely. Friends can console and help us when we're in trouble. We think about it in the Bible, the Gileadite that consoled David when David was being hunted down. Can you imagine that, being hunted down by King Saul only because he was jealous? And so we find the Gileadite came and encouraged Saul. Jonathan encouraged Saul. Jephthah's daughter's friends consoled her in times of great sorrow. Sometimes somebody's going to be going through something, and it's deep, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and it hurts, and the pain is real. And you need a good friend to be there to help you to get through that. Just to know that they love you, they care about you, and they're genuinely sincere about your life. A friend also may rebuke in love in Proverbs 27, proving that a faithful a friend is very valued. And so when you think about it, let's take our Bibles this morning. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 18. I think, as I said a moment ago, one of the greatest friendships in all the Bible is laid out of that between David and Jonathan, which was the son here of King Saul. So when you get over here, Jonathan had a loyalty to David. And when you get to chapter 18, and I want you to see this in the scripture today, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. Think about that, the robe. He was the king's son. Stripped himself of the robe that was on him, gave it to David and his garments, even his sword, and to his bow and to his girdle. So you find in these verses here the loyalty that exceeded that to his own father, and the ambitions here that Jonathan loved David even more so than his own family. We find here Jonathan kept serving Saul, but he kept that loyalty and that love. Go over to chapter 20 there, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 20, and you get down to verse 14, and 15, 16, 17. Interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 14 says, "And thou shalt not only while yet I live show thee the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also that thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No. Not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one, from the face of the earth." Now notice this in verse 16. "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul." Is it possible to love a friend as much as you love your own son? You know, Jesus gave the greatest commandment, and I love it. It's over in Matthew 22. You don't have to turn there now, but he gave the great commandment, and they came and they asked him one day. They said, "What's the greatest commandment in all the Bible?" There's a lot of commandments in the Bible. You have the Ten Commandments that Moses gave, but what's the greatest commandment of all? You know what the greatest commandment simply is? That thou shalt love the Lord, Matthew 22, you can look at it when you get home. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thyself. And then the second commandment, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy friend as thyself. You want to live a godly Christian life? To love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Best thing you can do for your marriage is love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Best thing you can do for your children is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second commandment that Jesus gave, even greater than the Ten Commandments, is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I remember one time in the Bible, they even asked him, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then they get into the discourse of the Samaritans and who is our neighbor? Anybody that goes out, it's just not your neighbor that lives beside your house. It's just not a coworker that you might work with or whatever. It's whoever you run into in life and people that cross our path and that we have a responsibility to be a friend or to be helpful or to be in a situation of being able to plant a seed. But here in David's life and this bond and this knit was so strong between David and Jonathan. So attached was David to his loyal friend Jonathan that after Jonathan's death, David wrote a song to him and a tribute that was filled with a warming pathos love in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Their friendship was closer than a brotherhood. And so in the New Testament, many of Paul's letters, if you'll notice, remember that when you're reading through the New Testament, and Paul's letters that he wrote, he began and he ends with tributes to his friends. Anytime you read one of the epistles, one of the letters in the New Testament, he'll always sometimes be mentioning a certain friend. It could be a Timothy. It could be whoever, Barnabas. It could be whoever it is that ministered to him and supported him and prayed for him and loved him. Paul was very thankful for that. Now, friendships can also have some negative aspects as well. When you think about it, supposed friends can lead us into sin. And when Jonadab here, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And 2 Samuel can lead us in the wrong path. When Jonadab was counseled by Ammon here, you see some of the problems that came up to rape his half-sister. 2 Samuel chapter 13. When you look at it here in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Ammon, the son of David, loved her. And Ammon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Ammon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Why wilt thou not tell me? And Ammon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh in to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Ammon lay down, made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him again, Ammon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Be careful of your friends, because it led him in the wrong direction, led him in the wrong path. A good friend will always lead you to make the right choices. A good friend will always be there to help you, to encourage you, and not to lead you down a sinful path. And so when you look at it here in Scripture, that sometimes friendships can have a negative effect. A friend can lead us astray spiritually, as Israel was warned about that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13 in the Old Testament there. In Deuteronomy 13, the nation of Israel was warned about that time and time again. In Deuteronomy 13, you get down to verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or the son, Deuteronomy 13, 6, or the son, or thy daughter, or the wife, or thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, Let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. In verse 7, namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, and far off from thee, and from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, and thou shalt not consent unto them, nor hearken unto them, unto him, neither shall thy eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more such wickedness as this is among you. So Israel was warned. A friend can lead them astray, can lead a nation astray. And even well-intentioned friends can provide false comfort and give bad advice. We saw that in Job's life, did we not? And remember that when Job fell on hard times? Job didn't anything. I'm just amazed at that Bible story of Job. He did nothing wrong. And then the Bible simply says one day that, and I'm paraphrasing this, that God came to Satan one day and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God's saying to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And here's what Satan said. Satan said, "Well, no, because you have put a hedge of protection about him, and I can't get to him." I don't know about you, but I love that part, because God can protect. God can put a hedge of protection. God can seal, and Satan can only do whatever God allows him to do. So then what happens then is that there's a choice made, and so God says to Satan, "Guess what? You can take everything Job has, but you cannot take his life." And so the next thing you know, Job was a wealthy man. Job lost all of his sons and daughters, 10 children, lost them. They all died. He lost his wealth. He lost everything he had. And then he lost his health on top of that. His wife just simply said, "Why don't you just curse God and die and give it up?" And his friends, so-called, quote, friends, come along. You know what his friends said? Remember that? "Job, what did you do wrong?" Sometimes people, I've had people tell me that, you know, that sometimes a sickness befalls in your life and something happens in your life, it's because you got some hidden sin in your life. Not so, my friend. Job was a righteous man. Job was a good man, and Job had done nothing wrong, and his friends come along, his friends, quote-unquote, supposedly friends, saying, "What did you do? What sin have you done? Why is all this happening to you? You lost your children, you lost your wealth, you lost your health, you lost everything. What? Surely, Job, you're hiding something." And you know what Job said? "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." So be careful your friends, because sometimes you look at it here, they may not really be your friends. And that's what happened to Job. So people we thought were friends sometimes can prove false or deserting us, and our friendship no longer benefits them. And for all these reasons, more and more friends should be chosen carefully. Paul taught that bad company corrupts good character. And you think about it, the Bible gives us warning. Let's go over to Proverbs 22. And the Bible gives us warnings about the wrong types of friends. In Proverbs 22, we're not to be friends, the Bible says, with an angry man. It says in Proverbs 22, and you get down to verse 25, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." So Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 4 warns us against enticing us to do wrong. Be careful of the friends that lead you or entice you to go away from the Lord, those whose feet are swift to sin or to destruction. The path they choose is no place for the Christian whose choice should always be avoided at all cost. The path they choose is no place for a Christian whose choice should always be to follow always the Lord thy God and the path of righteousness. The greatest friend you'll ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. No friend will be better than that friend of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So on this Friend Day today, I would encourage you today to take the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest friend. You can tell him anything. You can always trust him. You can always confide in him. You can always walk in fellowship with him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest friend you'll ever have. When you think about it, one of the things I began to do is after I became a Christian was to try to figure out how can I get my friends and my family to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have worked hard and diligently on that since I was 16 years old, and I'm 71 now. I've seen many of them get saved, many of them turn to Christ. I've preached many of their funerals along the way. The first one I had the privilege to lead to Christ was after I was saved, 3 weeks after I was saved, led a first cousin to Christ, David. So when you think about it, how do you evangelize? How do you share the gospel without pushing them away from God? At some point, every Christian has a family member or a friend or a coworker or an acquaintance who is not a Christian. I have a lot of friends here in Canton, right here in the community, I know are not yet saved, that need to be saved, that you continually plant the seed and share the gospel and praying that they'll come to Christ. Sharing the gospels with others can be difficult, and it can even become more difficult when it involves someone with whom you and I have a close emotional tie to. The Bible tells us that many will be offended in Luke chapter 12 at the gospel. By sharing the gospel and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you and I are to be seed planters. Not everyone will accept the gospel, but we got to give everyone we can an opportunity to hear and to understand and be willing to receive that gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I are commanded to share that gospel and to share that with our friends. It'd be a tragedy, wouldn't it, to have a friend through life. And you talk to them about everything under the sun, except the gospel, except the most important thing. Because I just did a funeral yesterday, the only thing that you're going to take to heaven with you is your family that are saved and your friends that are saved. Everything else will stay here. It all stays behind. So how can we evangelize our family members and friends and coworkers? The most important thing you and I can do is pray for them. Pray for them on a daily basis. Pray that God would change their hearts and open their eyes to the truth of the gospel in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Pray that God would convince them of his love for them and their need for salvation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Pray for wisdom, secondly, on how best to minister to your friend, to help your friend. We must be willing and bold in our actual sharing of the gospel. Proclaim the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ to your friends and your family. Always be prepared to speak your faith. And you say, well, what is the gospel? Paul explained it in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to verse 4. The gospel is just simply the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to believe the gospel and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to have eternal life. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Nicodemus tried to figure that out. What can I do to be saved? How can I come to God? How can I come to Christ? And Jesus told Nicodemus, remember that? He said, unless you're born of the water and born of the Spirit, you cannot be saved. So and then he had a good question. Well, how can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? You cannot. You're born once physically. You're born of the water. Your mother gave you birth. The second time, you got to be born spiritually. Can you identify to a day, a time? And he had that in that song a moment ago, talking about the day you got saved, the day you come to Christ, the day you're born again spiritually. And so when you look at it today, in addition to praying and sharing our faith, we must also then live a godly life in Christ so we can be that testimony to others. And ultimately, you got to leave salvation is up to God. God does the saving, God does the convicting, and God then brings about new life. God, simply, the Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way to heaven. That's it. Not many ways to heaven. There are many religions in this world. You know what? Here's the interesting thing. When this world is over and time is no more and eternity begins, there's not going to be Catholics in heaven and Baptists in heaven, and there will be saved Catholics in heaven, saved Presbyterians in heaven, saved Methodists in heaven, saved Lutherans in heaven. But you know what? Those are all labels down here, religious labels, and that all goes away because Jesus simply taught you either believe or you don't believe. You either trust Jesus Christ or you do not. And he simply said that I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one door into heaven, and that doorway is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that simply is today, do you know him? Have you trusted him? As a friend, the greatest friend you will ever, ever, ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him today? With every head bowed and every eye closed today, I'm going to ask you this today. Yesterday I did a funeral for a couple, and I knew, because I have already talked to them and had the assurance, that they went to heaven because they believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They were born again. And I wonder today, my friend, if you took your last breath sitting here today, maybe this week, and no longer had an opportunity to live anymore, where would you spend eternity? You say, Pastor, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm absolutely convinced. I know there's been a day and a time in my life when I got saved and I was born again and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. If I took my last breath right now, I'd immediately be in the presence of the Lord. I'd be in heaven today. If you know that for sure, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hand all over the sanctuary? Pastor, I know today, if I took my last breath right now sitting here today, I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Thank you. Put your hands down. Now, let me just ask you this, my friend. You're here today because maybe somebody invited you here. You came as a guest or visitor today. My desire is just simply to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest friend you'll ever have. And you say, well, how do I do that? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So here's what I want to do right now at this moment, right where you sit, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around at that today. If you mean it in your heart and you desire to be saved today, you desire to be born again today, you want to be born again by the Spirit of God today, right now, this very moment, I want to help you to be able to make that decision right now. You can pray this right where you sit. This is a prayer between you and God right now. Just pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and today I repent of my sin. Today, with my mouth, I am making confession, and I am believing in my heart in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for eternal life. God, today I desire to be saved and have the promise of heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, my friend, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, no one looking around today, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I prayed that in my heart and I meant it today sincerely. And just lift your hand to God all over the sanctuary today. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Today, I'm raising my hand to God today that I ask Jesus Christ into my heart. Father in heaven, today, thank you for the Spirit of God. And God, it's only by your Spirit, only by your power that I can be saved, that anybody can be saved. And today is our desire today, God, to introduce these dear folks to the greatest friend they'll ever have of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, today may we serve you faithfully. Thank you for each and every one that's in the house of worship today. And God, may these commitments made to Christ today, may it be genuine and real in their heart and in their life today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together if you will today. It's customary in our church, we always give an invitation. If you want to come to pray to the altar, you're welcome to do that. If I can pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. We don't arm twist anybody to come. The Holy Spirit's got to lead you to come. If we can be of help to you in any way and pray with you, we'd love to do that. If you have questions, we'd love to help you with that. If you want to talk about church membership, we'd be glad to talk with you about that and set up a time. So if you want to come during the invitation, you just come on down one of the aisles and you can pray on your own, or I'd be glad to pray with you as Brother Ron leads us today, if you would. Decided to make that commitment to him today.
To follow Jesus.
Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Make that decision. Don't wait. What's at stake? Your eternal life. Don't wait.
To follow Jesus. No turning back.
every head bowed and every eye closed today. God, thank you today for these that have made decisions today to follow Christ. They have decided today to be saved, to be born again. So God, today I pray you'll lead them, guide them, direct them. Thank you for every friend that's here today. Thank you for every church member here today. And God, thank you most of all for the greatest friend that a man or woman could ever have, and that's the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we walk with you and fellowship with you and love you more each and every day, realizing that one of these days, time will be no more, and we'll slip into eternity. So God, I pray that each one here today will prepare themselves for that moment, living life to the fullest while we're here, enjoying every moment that you give us, but God, also making sure that we prepared ourselves for eternal life, life that lives on forever, and the transition from the natural body to the spiritual body, to live in eternity forever, in your home, in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Be seated just for a moment, and I want to say thank you for being in the Lord's house today. Just want to share a few announcements to the congregation. And that, first of all, if you're a friend today and you came as a result of Friend Day, we say thank you for coming, and trust that if you don't have a good church to go to, find a good Bible-believing church in the area that you live, and go to church and serve the Lord and be faithful to Him. If you need a good church home, you're always welcome here at First Baptist at the corner of Cherry Hill and Sheldon. We'd love to have you, and come and worship the Lord with us here. Our ladies in the church are having a ladies' retreat. It's going to be June the 8th to the 11th at Bethel Youth Camp up at our camp in northern Michigan, and the registration has begun for that. There's a table set up in the foyer. Go by and sign up for that. If you have any questions, see Rosalind or Tammy, and for that, they'll be glad to help you. Also, Vacation Bible School dates are on the calendar, June the 26th to the 30th. If you know young children, which would be kindergarten to sixth grade, we'd love to have them here for VBS this year. And it's called, they got a theme called Jungle Safari VBS. So we'll see who shows up in that. I don't know if the lions and tigers are going to be here or not, but we'll see. It's always, VBS is always fun. And then also the praise band, Brother Ron, the praise band, they do a great job. Kevin, thank you for coming, brother. Or Jerry, not Kevin. I had Kevin on my mind. Thank you for coming all the way from Arizona. And next time you come, bring some of that 90-degree weather, will you? I appreciate that. You're always welcome. And that. So, but anyway, the musicians and singers, they do have an announcement I want to make, that they are currently looking for experienced, dedicated brothers and sisters in Christ who have a calling to be involved in music and the music ministry here at First Baptist. Open positions for singers, musicians are available. If selected, these will require availability to practice on Thursday nights. They practice every Thursday night and then Sunday mornings before church. See Brother Ron if you have questions and about that, but we're looking for people that want to serve the Lord and use your music talent for Him. So if you would. The Widow's Luncheon, I was told in Sunday school today, it's not at Bob Evans, it's at Cracker Barrel. Is that correct? That's correct. So if you'll make that note or that change, they made a transition to a Cracker Barrel. Somebody once told me that Bill Gaither said that was God's restaurant. Is that true? I don't know. I've eaten a lot of Cracker Barrels over the years, but anyway, they're meeting at Cracker Barrel, not Bob. If you go to Bob Evans, you're going to be eating alone, so go to Cracker Barrel. And the men's golf outing, that all is getting all wrapped up. We're going to have a golf outing is coming up May 20th or 23rd. We need to get the rest of the money rounded up if you haven't paid by the end of April, April the 30th. And if you'd like to go, we could still squeeze you in if you want to go. But we got to get that all put together and things come together so we can get the rooming schedule and the tee time sheets together. They're going to Indiana this year. They're playing one local course on Saturday, May the 20th at the Ipsy Golf Club. And then they'll be traveling down to Indiana at Kendallville playing on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. It's a fun time. So look forward to that if you want to go. See one of the guys on the – any of us could help you with that, Brother Ron. A bunch of golfers over here, Tony, John Moore, Brother Randy, John Phillips, all of us, ask one of us and we'll be glad to help you with the golf outing. The Red Cross has a blood drive coming up May the 11th. If you want to help in Bethel Work Week, we're going to the camp to do some work. Money has come in for the remodeling of our putt-putt golf course that's up there. So we're going to be tackling that project this year. And if you want to go and help at the camp, we're going to be up there Monday through Friday. And if you can go for a day or two, that's great. If you want to go all week, that's good. We'll feed you. There's no charge to go. but you work all week, so we're going up to work. And my dad and mom used to say, work never killed you, amen? So it hadn't killed us yet. So we're going up there to help Brother Bud and get some work done at the camp. Good to see you in church. Let's stand together, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the music today. Thank you for the blessing of our praise team and Brother Ron Newsom. Thank you for all those. Thank you, Brother Jerry, traveling in, being with us from Arizona. And God, we do pray that the Word of God will go forth, and the seed that is planted, God, may it take root, and may it bring about fruit, and may people today realize that their best friend that they will ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, to you be all the honor and the glory and the praise today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you go, let me just say a thank you to all the congregation. They had their Awana store last week. Joe and Sue, everything went well. They raised, on all the baked stuff that y'all made, raised almost $1,000 for that. And yeah, give them a hand. So that went to, that'll go to the Awana ministry and the Awana store at the end of the year. And that. So thank you to everybody about that. And the peach cobbler was awesome. You're dismissed.